All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom Marchino, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. They appreciate it. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Saturday, June 5th, 2021. How is everybody doing in this amazing, well, I don't know where you're at, but where I'm at, amazing morning. I mean, it's only 6:57 in the morning, but that's why I love getting up early. I hope everyone's having a great day. I hope everyone had a great night. I hope everybody wakes up with no resentments or no apologies necessary. Sometimes that's tough. I thought I would just maybe chat a little bit. You know, one of the things about my business owning a hair salon and being a hairdresser, I guess that's the term. You know, I talk to a lot of people. You know, I see a lot of people. I hear a lot of stories. I have a lot of conversations, a lot of interactions between clients, between other hairdressers, between salespeople, between just, you know, UPS and FedEx, just a ton of opportunities to have conversations throughout the day. And, you know, I have a lot of opportunities to listen, right? I end up having a lot of opportunities to have opinions. And I have a lot of opportunities to share my story. Because unfortunately, I have a lot of people that come through my door that are struggling, whether it's with their own lives or with a family member or both, right? And, you know, I just have these great conversations, and it keeps me in reality. And the reality is that it's tough out there. And, you know, just because I don't drink today doesn't mean that I don't have challenges. Doesn't mean that I still, you know, I don't carry around that burden of the shit like I used to carry around. You know, that was a whole different level of burden to carry around. But it's still, you know, I still want what I want. I still want to get things. I still want to do things. I still want to be part of, probably for a lot of the wrong reasons. The worst part about it is I know better. You know, and it's tough to maintain all that. And it's tough to maintain, but you do it one day at a time. One of the big, a couple big things that I hear a lot of lately is just a lot. One of the big ones that I hear a lot of are people that create or project, right? What ifs. Someone was just telling me about this yesterday. I do a lot of what ifs, and the what ifs are what gets me in trouble. And I get that. You know, I know better. I know that's not healthy for me to do that kind of stuff. But I do that as well. You know, I do that a lot with my kids. You know, what happened? What if they found me dead on the couch one day? It's always this kind of what if this bad thing happens to me and they discover it. You know, that is for some reason, I think for me, it's a big deal. I think for a lot of parents, you know. You don't want to die and have your kids find you. I think that, to me, it seems awful. Then I worry, well, what if I didn't do enough? Or what if I haven't been a good enough parent? Will they be fine? What if? And the reality is that's not great. Hold on. All right, I'm back. Sorry. I'm going to go fucking get a hat or something. My hair is on a different level of obnoxious right now, so I don't know. I feel like buzzing my whole head. But I had to get ahead. So what was I saying? I guess just the point is that, you know, as a person that's sober, it's still a lot of challenges. And, you know, sometimes sobriety is a lonely place. I think that's what keeps a lot of people in their behaving the way they behave. I know that kept me into it for a long time. I always said that I only became an alcoholic the day that I tried to quit. Up until that point, I just drank a lot. and had a lot of fun. You know, there was a lot of good times. You know, last night would have been one of them, right? I mean, last night, here at least, this is the weekend after Memorial Day. Weather's beautiful. We're coming back from a pandemic. Tonight, last night would have been one of those nights. And my wife and I, we went out to eat. We actually went to a local restaurant and had a great time, had dinner. And we did not drink, obviously, but, you know, I can imagine back in the day letting that be the launch pad for an eventful night, right? That probably would have ended with a lot of shit. So I'm grateful that that didn't happen. But, you know, I had this conversation yesterday, and this is kind of what my point was, is that, you know, I have all these conversations with people, and you know, the person I was talking to, a person in their lives had been struggling, and they got to the point where they were either, the person either needed to change or their relationship was going to end. I think we've all been there or heard this. If you haven't, good for you. But most of us, I know for me, there's been many times where my life had become at a point in the corner where you either got on board or everybody was bailing on you. And this kind of was going on with this person. And of course, they quit drinking, you know. Seen that a lot of times. They quit, and everything's going to be better. And I was telling this person, I'm like, listen, if the person that, you know, is going through this needs any, you know, a person to talk to, or if I could just share my story, you know, if I can be of any assistance, or, you know, I'd love to, you know, if I could help. And they were like, thank you. I don't think they're at that place. You know, they've quit. They're doing good. I think we're good. And personally, I'm thinking, you're not. But see, this is where, you know, like restraint from pen and tongue. I'm like, yeah, I get it. That sounds great. That's awesome. You know, I don't need to have an opinion. Personally, I know that it's not over. Even if another drink is never had, it's not our problem. The drinking is not the problem. Drinking's what we get caught at. It's the thinking and the other bullshit. And sometimes that doesn't maybe even affect other people in that person's life right away. But it starts to. It starts to undermine the foundation of sobriety, I think. I only share this because this is exactly what happened to me. You know, I got sober March 31st, 1997. Not because I wanted to. Not because I had to, because I was embarrassed and I was ashamed. Right there, the entrance to this program, the entrance to sobriety is already shaky. I mean, I'll take it. Take it. Whatever opportunity you get, take it. But for me, it was, and I wouldn't learn this till later, but for me, that was going to be end up being the wrong reason. You know, getting sober because I had to, I didn't want to admit that I had to get stitches again. I'll take it, but it wasn't the best reason. Because it's, you know, it may not keep you there. But luckily, I was able to get into the hospital. I was able to sign up for an outpatient program. I said yes to a lot of stuff early while the stitches were still fresh. That when I started to come to my senses, I was already committed and I kind of had to stick with it. And one thing about me is if I'm signed up for something or I'm doing something like that, I'll always show up because that's, you know, now I'm starting to build the case of I'm not an alcoholic. And if I was an alcoholic, I would skip it, but I'm not. So I'll be there. And I was just around long enough to start getting enough information. I acted like a duck, right? I was walking like a duck. I was quacking like a duck. I didn't quite have the duck lingo yet, but I was getting it. And some of the great things that started coming along with it was this freedom, right? The pink cloud. And, you know, I get that today, that pink cloud. It's basically everything opposite of what my life was up until this point. You know, hangovers, drunk driving, fights, stitches, breakups, really the lack of relationships, the quality of the relationships that I was having, the quality of the kind of people. I mean, people are people, but, you know, some of us carry around bigger backpacks of crap. And those are the people that I hung out with. So right away, just the early sobriety about, you know, just the changing of the people. The relationships. I mean, it all felt so good. You know, but it was, you know, and I would do that for a while. I did that in that in outpatient program. I did that for a while, and then I graduated. I remember my parents came to my graduation. It was a big deal. You know, but it wouldn't be till 4 or 5 years later where I would, you know, I would be driving in my car, and that voice would show up all of a sudden and be like, you know what? Look how good you've done. Look how good you've done, and you deserve a drink. I think the, you know, the surprise after 4 years of drinking, or the surprise after 4 years and then having a drink, was a surprise, right? Because at the time, I thought I had it all together. You know, I'd gone to an outpatient program. I had been to 120 meetings in 90 days or whatever it was. I mean, I was definitely into it. And I, you know what? And if I, I was thinking about this yesterday, you know, because we haven't been to meetings. And I love meetings. You know, when I first came into this, when I first, at my first attempt, I don't even know what I want to call it. At my first attempt, I loved going to meetings. I would go to a meeting every day, sometimes twice a day. I loved it. And, but you know, that's easy to get confused about because the reality was is that I was so deprived of like normal relationships, normal conversations, normal behavior, life that existed that didn't include drugs or alcohol or scandal or whatever the other bullshit that went along in my life constantly. I was so deficient of that that when that showed up, it just was so great that I just loved it, right? I loved the new relationships. I remember walking, you know, I live in a town, I live in a small town that has a great group of meetings, right? We have, I mean, when I first moved here, there was, or when I first got sober, there was probably half the meetings that we have now. But, you know, we're fucked up kind of people, and, you know, someone's always got an issue with something. So we have probably double the meetings now, you know, which is fine. It's great, but we haven't been to meetings for a year and a half, and we miss them, you know. And but at the time, you know, I had nothing. I had no life. So going to meetings was awesome. I loved it. And then, you know, you get over time, and that was, and I've shared this before, but that would be the beginning of me drinking, really. And it would be the beginning of a lot of weird shit that would be exposed that I didn't realize was an issue. And that was the thing that with this conversation I had with this person yesterday was, I think they're doing good. I think they're going to be okay. They've quit. And I thought to myself, I said, no, they're not. But I also said to myself, some of that stuff can't be taught, right? Because I, for as an example, if I use myself as an example, I couldn't be taught this stuff. I mean, I was taught it. I think it was explained. It was probably read. You know, if you read the big book, if you've been to a, if you go to a big book meeting, you know, and you read parts of the big book and Bill's story, I'm sure all of this was explained because I'm sure they, Bill and Bob all went through the same kind of stuff. I just don't know if I was available or I had been beat down enough to receive the message. And you know, it's almost like a pole in the in a lake, and the lake slowly goes down, and more of the pole is revealed. And you know, my lake hadn't gone down far enough. So when I had moved over to Easton, took a job, which it says don't do in your first year. You know, it says all these things in your don't do in your first year. I did most of them, of course, right? Oh, that's for bad alcoholics. That's for, you know, that's for the kind of, that's for like winos, the kind that have a, you know, a bag of alcohol that, you know, sleep in the gutter. Not me. You know, I still had a job. And so I didn't pay attention to a lot of that stuff. Don't get into relationships. You know, I did wait, I think, for a year to get in a relationship, but not because, I don't think that was because that I restrained from having a relationship. I just don't think I was, nobody liked me. I just don't think I was ready. I don't, I probably didn't see it. I probably was like, I'm ready. I'm cool. What do you got? But I think everybody around me could see that I wasn't ready. So when I say I waited a year for relationships, that probably wasn't up to me. Right. But you know, but I went to school. I went to school probably at the end of my first year. So I did wait on some things, but it wasn't really because I was concerned about my sobriety or wanted to follow directions. It was what it was. But, you know, understanding all that stuff, I'm unfortunately the kind of person that learns with disaster. So, you know, when shit goes wrong, I seem to learn stuff. And I think that's where, you know, the ego, I'm an egotistical maniac. You know, I'm driven by ego. And ego's like driving the bus. But as soon as the fucking bus hits something, ego goes running out the door. And so all that's left is maybe a little bit of humility comes creeping out under the seat. All right. You know, but that's usually when humility shows up, after self crashes us. And that would be a lot of the way that I would learn a lot of the stuff through this, you know, the program. So moving over to Easton, you know, at 4 years, I was at this, you know, I was doing great. 4 years of sobriety, right? 4 years, that's a long damn time. But I was just a poster, right? I tried to look like everything that a person with 4 years would look like, but inside, I was uneducated. I was really full of shit, and you know, and I would start seeing it when I would start going to the meetings over in Eastern Maryland, and I didn't like the way that they collected the money. I didn't like the way that they, you know, read the steps or whatever it was. I just had an issue with it. And instead of saying, what do I care? You know, instead of finding gratitude, instead of saying, listen, this is just a different meeting, man. You're here because you're an alcoholic. And if you're as awesome as you think you are, then you're just here for the next person. You know, but you really, this is, you know, it's a service. You know, you're not the fucking AA general. But my ego was like, Tom, come here. I don't like this. And we didn't like it. And that would just start to be these stones building the path to the vodka bottle. And I would, you know, and one day, you know, ego's like, hey, new plan. Let's try drinking. I think you've done well. You know, I used to say I've been sober 5 years. I wasn't sober 5 years. I was sober probably 4 years and 3 months. But there's that ego adding on time now, looking, let's appear better than we are, right? And I remember just making that right turn and drinking that alcohol. And then all of a sudden, the gift was gone. And this is four years and some change. You know, so when I hear people that are at 5 years or at 4 years or 3 years and they're doing great, I personally know they're insane inside. Unless they are the perfect Alcoholics Anonymous person, which I doubt. Which I definitely doubt. So the point of all that was, I know when, like, I was talking to this person, and they were saying, yeah, the person's good, they quit, everything's good, and, you know, I appreciate you offering to be there for this person if they need it, but I think they're good. So it's understanding this, and then it's understanding that I can't really, you know, because I'm also going through this period of my life right now where I'm just sick of being the fixer, right, you know, because one of the problems for me, at least when I got sober, is all of a sudden, you know, I have an opinion. I'm an expert, right? And I'm not. I'm the opposite. In fact, the farther away from being an expert that I for this program that I can be, maybe the better chance I have of staying sober. Right? So I was telling, somebody was telling me the other day that, you know, it was about getting sober. And I said, I'm sick of telling people, you know, what their problems are. You know, I don't want to be the fucking sober police. I don't. I'm not an expert. I'm barely hanging on by my own. You know, I don't want to drink, but you know, fuck, I just sometimes get sick of being just the good guy, right? I mean, I've always been a good guy, but, you know, I want to stay out late on a Saturday night and fucking raise hell. I want to go, you know, fucking wander around drunk. That sounds fun. You know, luckily I can think it through today and realize that that isn't going to be a good idea. But, you know, it's boring sometimes being sober. You have to, I've said this, I think. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, I had to fall in love with being sober more than I had to be afraid of drinking. Because being afraid of drinking isn't going to keep me sober. Loving this right here, you know, at 6 or 7, I don't know, 7:24 in the morning, the sun shining on my back, sitting in a studio next to my hair salon. I love this. Right? I love the obvious stuff. I love, you know, waking up with a clear head. This, we were talking yesterday, a client of mine, and she's saying, you know, it's so nice to wake up and think, have basically an even keel kind of thinking throughout the day. And of course, it's a little up and down, sure, but, you know, it's not like when we were in our addiction where we'd wake up either hungover or still drunk, right? You know, maybe with some resentments or some guilt and shame. And then you kind of come to, and that just kind of, that passes or starts to wear off, and then noon or, you know, high noon would show up. And then you start to maybe get some sense back, right? And then the day would, you know, probably middle of the day, you're like, you know, I'm not drinking, I'm not doing that again. Wow, what a night. You know, let's change our ways, right? And then, you know, throughout the, as the second half of the day comes through, and then you start going, you know, maybe I'll just have beer. And it's just, you're looking through life through different shades of glass, right, throughout the day. And, you know, and then by the end of the night, you're doing it all over again. You know, this person yesterday was saying, you know, I don't think I was an alcoholic, but I drank every day. And I was like, wow. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, what is, you know, we admit we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. You know, it's a great step, you know, and I think about that for that person. Was their life unmanageable? Doesn't sound like it, right? You know, I'll always say, we admit we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable to everybody else. Right, because I could have probably hung in there a bit longer. This person sounds like they could have hung in there a bit longer. You know, if you're out there and you're listening and you're struggling, you know, has your life become unmanageable to everybody else? You know, are your family giving up on you? Is your work giving up on you? Are your friends giving up on you? You know, hey, can you come pick me up? I wrecked my car. Now your life's unmanageable to that person. You know, hey, can you fix my car? I wrecked it last night. Now your life's unmanageable to this person. Hey, you know, I lost my keys last night. I need to get, can you come bring me an extra key? Now your life's unmanageable to this person. You know, we all have that fucking audience. You know? And when the audience starts to fall away, when your life becomes unmanageable to everybody else, you know, that's when we start considering options, right? And I don't know. Let's see. Let's read something. I got to go to work. What do these people? Let's see here. I hope everyone's having a great day today. It is stunning outside right now. I'm just like amazed. I want to go to the beach today. All right, June 5th, entirely ready. Ooh, surprise. All right, this is a step that separates the men from the boys. The difference between the boys and the men is the difference between striving for self-determined objective and for the perfect objective, which is of God. It is suggested that we ought to become entirely willing to aim towards perfection. The moment we say no, never, our minds close against the grace of God. This is the exact point at which we abandon limited objectives and move towards God's will for us. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 63, 68, and 69. All right. Am I entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character? That's a great question. Do I know at long last that I cannot save myself? That's another great question. I have come to believe that I cannot. Surrender, right? That's surrendering. If I am unable, my wife told me, I don't know how to surrender. And I said, put up the white flag. right? Give up. She said, oh. Like understanding, like the white flag makes sense. You know? I have come to believe that I cannot. If I am unable, if my best intentions go wrong, if my desires are selfish and motivated, and if my knowledge and will are limited, then I am ready to embrace God's will for my life. I'm going to read that again because I felt like that was a little weird. All right. Am I entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character? Do I know at long last that I cannot save myself? I have come to believe that I cannot. If I am unable, if my best intentions go wrong, if my desires are selfishly motivated, and if my knowledge and will are limited, then I am ready to embrace God's will for my life. Well, you know, to me, that's the key right there. It's all about surrendering, you know, higher ground, you know, giving up the fight. It's a big fight to give up. I hope everybody is having a great day. Hang in there if you're struggling, you know, reach out, send an email if you want. I can't fix you. But I think if you make the effort and send an email or text and say, hey, you know, I'm struggling. You know, I talk to my wife about that a lot, you know, because she talks about anxiety and, you know, I think we can all relate. Anxiety, you know, is a thread that runs through a lot of our lives. But, you know, even just to say, hey, you know, I'm struggling a bit today with some anxiety. You know, my buddy Matt used to always say it out loud. Say it out loud to somebody. It cuts it in half. And if you can cut that thing in half a couple times, maybe we can handle it a little better. Have a great day. Bye. Sometimes we enrage. You know, I try to wait.